Recording. Welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast focused on spiritual warfare. If you would like to learn more about Active Faith, you can find us at active-faith.org. We are always working to reclaim the land, expel evil, and heal the soul, all through the Word of God. I am Dr. Charlie, and I am here with a special edition of Battle Plan for Broken Families. And I am very excited to have a very special guest today. She's very special to my heart. We have done ministry together, and I have watched her walk a very, very difficult walk, and she's done it with such grace. And she was walking it long before we were ever friends. So I would like to welcome you, Toni Norvell, to Battle Plan. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for letting me share my story.
Absolutely. So I just want to introduce Toni as Superwoman because I don't think that there's anything that Toni can't do if she puts her mind to it. She is a very amazing woman. But this is the thing that I love about Toni the most is she has the way, this very unique, very powerful way of taking the word of God and turning it into a weapon that makes the enemy tremble. And I have learned so much from her over the years and the way she battles and the way she fights. And there's just the tenacity, Toni, you have such great tenacity. And so I just thank you for that example that you set for so many. Toni has a very beautiful and also a very, very difficult story. God has definitely called you to do hard things.
For
And
sure.
so Toni, can you tell us just because this is a battle plan for broken families, and today I probably should have said that we're going to talk about addiction and incarceration
Okay.
because
My specialty.
I know they are. Okay, so I'm going to let Toni tell her story, but I just want to, if you know anybody who is dealing with family members who are incarcerated and it has broken up their families or it has put extreme stressors on their families, this is the podcast you want to share because this woman is about to drop some truth bombs that I know you're going to want to share. So, Toni, can you just tell us a little bit about your story?
Yes. I grew up in Arkansas, and my grandmother always said I was very hard-headed and stubborn. And my grandmother always said, God's going to use that stubborn one day for his good. Well, I've lived to see that. So,
I would say so.
yes, I have. I was married for 39 years to the love of my life. But before that, I was married and divorced and had a very special son. His name is Wesley Smith. And he's been incarcerated in and out of jail since he was about 17, like serious
And how
issues
old
with
is
the.
Wesley now?
Wesley is now a pastor in prison, but he is now 40. He was born in 78. You do the math. 46, 47. He's
Yeah.
getting on up there, So he's got gray hair. I've had mine have a little help. So he's
I
actually grayer than
understand.
his mom right now. So,
Okay.
but
And
yes.
why is he in prison?
He is in prison for due to he got drunk and stole the car. He had a big time fight with his girlfriend, drank a pint of whiskey, and hell began. So, he was
Yeah.
That was just like, and it really
But that
wasn't
was the icing
exactly,
on the cake,
that was
right?
the
Like,
icing on the
yeah.
cake after a lot of bad behavior,
Yeah.
a lot of arrest, a lot of, a lot of things that went wrong in his life. So he looked really bad on paper. So therefore, he got this last time he got 40 years. So that's a big sentence. And I
But
mean,
he's not your only child.
no, he's not. I have another wonderful child. And her name is Brittany Singleton. But she did the same path that Wesley did. And so they both went hardcore covering up pain. Wesley was sexually abused, and he wouldn't mind me sharing this, by a neighbor, boy, and exposed to a lot of terrible pornography and all kind of things. So that started and was really, really a bad deal. And that was a beginning spiral of his got to cover things up. And he adored my grandmother, and everybody adored my grandmother. So when my grandmother died, he was expressing to me the other day, he said, I just drank to cover up the pain. He said, I didn't know what else to do. His grandmother dies, he drinks, cover up the pain. It was a actual Wesley's root issue was actually alcohol, and the drugs came with the alcohol. But he had been an alcoholic since probably age, I'd say 17, probably. I
He
mean, I
started
saw the,
young.
started young, and it was just it was his go-to, and then the drugs would come in after that.
And then Brittany has a little bit different story.
Yes, Brittany was my super child. Brittany was my A, straight A student, performer. She had a scholarship to OU when she was a senior, and in everything, drama, scholastics, and sports. So she had a full ride to OU, and meets a guy that she gets pregnant with and has Brittany and has Madison, and was introduced to Xanax, and then the party got crazy. After that, she gets kicked out of school. It was just such a horrendous wound to her because she was one of those, I'm going to do everything for my dad kind of kid, and I was shopping for her car for her senior year one day, and then she says, we need to go to lunch. And she tells me she's pregnant. And then, it was just like, oh my goodness, shock, shock. Not that I didn't, I mean, she had gotten in a little bit of trouble, but nothing major, nothing major, nothing like what she always said, I'll never act like Wesley. I'll never act like Wesley. Never say never. Because honestly, Brittany probably was harder to wrangle in than Wesley was, in a sense, because she had so much shame on her. And when she lost Madison, it was really, really tough. She lost Madison in the courts, and then we lost Madison in the courts. And though we could see her, that was the beginning of that was such a pain that she was just determined, I'll just
It just
die
kept
out
coming.
here. I'll just die out here. I'm never gonna be able to be sober. I'm never gonna be able to face anybody. Nobody's ever lost their child in our family ever, ever. And the shame was on. And you magnify that by the with the street wounds you get and prostitution and all that thing, because both of them, were into dark, dark things to support their drug habits. So, I never knew where they were going to be or what they were going to do. And, right. So,
And she went on, she had more babies. She had a set of twins.
Yes.
And they're in high school now, right?
They're 15 now.
Yeah, they're in high
And
school.
doing wonderful. God is really, I can just say this. His glory, our story. That goes for me. That goes for all of us.
That's
All
so
of us.
good. His glory, our story. That's one we
Yes.
all want to write down, all of us.
Exactly, because that's just the truth. That's the truth.
So in all of this, I just want to say, because it's not about this podcast is not about the horrible things. It's not about it's not about glorifying all of the dark stuff that your kids went through and drug you and your husband Todd through.
No.
But you said it a while ago that Wesley is now a pastor in prison.
Yes. Yes,
Right.
he is.
And
He is.
Brittany, is in ministry herself. She preaches all
Yes.
over. She has a book called 21 Mugshots.
Give you
And
three guesses, and the first two don't count as to why it says that. As there were
right.
21
It's got
mugshots.
21 different mugshots. And
Yes,
so,
exactly.
yeah, if you have a loved one or a child who is in prison or jail, I encourage you to go get that book. But
Exactly.
today, Tony, I want to lean in.
Okay.
I want you to share how you made it through those things and why we can celebrate. Now, this is, and I want everybody to hear me. I remember one time hearing Tony tell a story about going to the Gregg County, Texas jail and marching around the jail and praying.
Absolutely.
Now, this is a
Absolutely.
mama you do not want to mess with. He was marching around the jail. And that, I think that was prior to us being friends, but
Yes.
I love that about you. That's when I say you have tenacity, that's what I mean.
And I didn't care. I would exercise every morning and pray in the spirit and just march around that jail, march around that jail praying in the spirit because I had to encourage myself. And the Bible says if you pray in the spirit, you encourage yourself. And when you've got two active heroin addicts and you're trying to raise their kids and there's so much going on, you have to rely on the Holy Spirit. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit.
What kind of scriptures did you just hold close?
Okay. This is an interesting story. So the first one, when they were really out there, and Todd had found Wesley with a needle in his arm, and we just thought it was terrible. And he brought him home. He told me what was going on. And we went through so many things. I mean, you bring him into the house, and one time Wesley stole all his dad's jewelry, his wedding ring, because I brought him home from the hospital. And he wakes up after he's been on meth, which is truly a drug of the devil, and takes all the jewelry and steals car. So it's so funny. God will redeem everything because now my daughter has the keys to many, many, many cars because she works for Patterson Nissan and she has the keys to all the cars.
All
Tell
the
me God
cars, all the cars.
doesn't have some glory in that.
Right.
So anyway, I was just really on my face and I was in a white gown and it was just tear stained. And I was laying on the floor, just crying my eyes out. And I said, Lord, if I don't get a word from you, I'm just gonna die on the floor right now. He said, turn on the TV on TBN. And he said, your word's coming. So I turn on the TV and I think this might have been an angel because I've never seen this man since. And he's preaching and he's prophesying. And he said, there's a mother crying out for her children. And I said, Lord, that's not specific enough. Hundreds of mothers are crying out for their children. I want to know it's for me. And he said, well, she's in a white tear-stained cotton gown. And I went, that's mine. And he said,
wow.
He said, they will live and not die and declare the glory of the Lord. Now, I hung on to that with everything I was. Number one, I knew it was in the Bible. I knew it was the truth. And number two, it was what I prophesied over my children. And I wouldn't let go. And no matter if they were 98 pounds and, you know, whatever, Brittany's, I've looked at her and literally looked death in the face. And I would say, honey, you're going to live and not die and declare the glory of the Lord. And I told Wesley the same thing. And I told myself that over and over and over again, because it was the word of God. And it was pure truth.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I just love it when God drops these little, like, it wasn't big. It wasn't some going on and on and on. It's just this tiny little nugget.
Exactly.
And it just carried you. That's
it carried me. It still carries me today, because I say that over my children, and I carry that. And I've told this testimony to so many women hanging on just like I am. It was by a thread, you know, in the world of addiction, wondering where their kids are and wondering, all we knew to do was find them, call the cops, get them thrown in jail. Because we knew that if you find them, call the cops, get them thrown in jail, then they're not going to hurt. They're not going to die on the streets, and they're not going to kill anybody else, you know. And that's a real possibility. Brittany's been shot at before. You could read that in her book. And that bullet just went right by. And it's funny, it nicked her ear. Somebody else got an ear nick too.
But yes, they did. I don't think it was for the same reason.
Is that not funny? And sometimes God has such a sense of humor. You know, we never put that together the other day until Brittany and I were talking, and she goes, wow, that's kind of bizarre, isn't it? And I said, maybe. I don't believe in coincidences. I think it's a God wink.
Right. So are there other stories or scriptures that kind of kept you going, Tony, or was it?
Yes. Let me walk over here. I'll be right back, because I've got right over here. We changed and went to the kitchen table, and everything was over here. So I will get them for you.
Because there's going to be some people listening.
Yes.
That you know, they're desperate, and they know that the word is the truth, and they know that the word is the sword that we fight with. And I know that you know the word, like the word is written on your heart. And I've heard you pray over people before, and these scriptures will just pour out because you're just fighting for, you know, these women or these children, you know, that you minister to. So what are some of the scriptures that you just held on to?
Isaiah 31:9, even the strongest will quake with terror, and princes will flee when they see your battle flag. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
I hung on to that. That's out of Isaiah. And Isaiah 32:1. Look, a righteous king is coming. An honest prince will rule under him. Each one will be like the shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a parched land.
That's good too.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I would, sometimes it would be just as simple as, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, I mean, that sounds simple, but I hung on to that because I kept knowing and thinking in my heart, Jesus loves me no matter what. And
Yeah.
it also helped me knowing that he was my king and I was his bride.
And you know, Tony, I understand that so well, because sometimes in those moments of deep, painful, wretched grief, when your heart is ripped wide open and it is so hard to hang on to your faith, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And those old songs,
This is true.
The simplest scriptures that, and people listen to this podcast have probably heard me say this before, but Exodus 14, 14 was my scripture. The Lord will fight for me and I will be at peace. So I would feel like I had to fight all the time, and I felt like I was losing every battle. And that's when I would remind myself, the fight is not mine. I get to lay back on a pillow. I get to chill out. I get to rest and be at peace. And God does the fighting for me. And so I love that you share that, because sometimes it is just that simple, simple little thing.
That's right. Isaiah, another one, Psalm 106, 39. The Lord spread a cloud above them as a covering and gave them a great fire to light the darkness. That's Psalms 106, 39. So, and I felt in deep darkness in these battles, you know, because it's dark out there. You're looking for your kid in the streets, and you're, you know, you better be packing when you're doing that. You know what I mean? You know, I have a gun carrying license, and it's just the addiction and the weight of the sin on the streets is unbelievable, and it's very heartbreaking. And you also put yourself in a position to where you see, when you're out there, there's many more children than yours out there, and you run into them. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. And there'll be kids of your friends and kids you knew went to church with you, you know, and then the funerals you go to, and you just have to plead the blood and believe the blood. Your blood washes over me, Lord. The blood is the blood. And I would just plead the blood over my kids. And I would remember I lived at the cross, remembering the crucifixion all the time. I lived right there because I knew that one drop of that blood over my kids would change everything. I knew it changed everything in my world. So I would hang on to the blood, but in the next thing, I would hang on to the resurrection. And the scripture that was so dear to me was when Jesus goes back and he's talking to Mary and Martha, and Lazarus has died and he's dead, and their hope seemed to be dead. And everything like, oh, Jesus, if you had only been here, our brother would have lived. And they're so heartbroken. And Jesus looks them dead in the eye and he said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. So that was another huge one for me, because I was surrounded by death and, you know, all these things. And I would say, nope, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the resurrection. There's no hell they can go through and go to that Jesus is not there. And I knew my kids had been grounded in the word of God their entire lives. So that was another thing that gave me comfort, because my kids would read the Bible to me every day on the way to school. That was one of our requirements. When I took them to school, I'd throw the Bible at them and I'd say, read me anything you want to. Just find something. Let's read. Let's just read. Let's just read.
That's good. Now, I want to shift for just a minute, Tony, because we've talked about the two kids. But in the midst of all this, you had grandkids that were severely affected
by
all of all the jail time and the addictions and the alcoholism and Wesley being, you know, in prison even still today. Mm-hmm. And he has a daughter, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And so as a grandmother, how do you pray over these children watching the devastation play out in their life? Because there's going to be grandmothers listening to this and they're raising their grandchildren, or they are, I talked to a woman today, she is raising four of her grandchildren.
Yes.
You know, I talk to grandparents all the time and they're dealing with the aftermath of their children's choices, and they still love their children, but they're now having to do some very hard things. How do you pray through that?
Okay. Well, no, I study a lot about King David, and the one part I love about David, and this is my other go-to scripture. When David was at Ziklag and the enemy came, burned everything up, took his wives, took his kids, and everything's burned. Mm-hmm. And his soldiers are wanting to stone him. I mean, they're really mad. They're really upset. We're off to war and this happens. And David said one thing: I will hope thou in the Lord. So another go-to scripture. It's, I can't tell you the address right now, but I can tell you it's in Samuel. You know, it's in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. But read both books because they're all
good. My hope is in the Lord.
Yes. Hope thou in the Lord is what King James says. But, you know, and I love the King James because I like poetry. But it's, you must hope in the Lord, because he spun this universe. He created everything you see, every child you see, regardless. And I knew that the babies that were before me, you know, only God can say, let there be life, and that sperm and that egg come together. That's the Lord's design. That's the Lord's design. And that was another comforting thing. There are really no illegitimate children, God says, for them to be born. So there's really, we're all legitimate, no matter what the circumstances, because God has to say, let there be life. So that, you know, that's a big thing with me, to let everyone know these children, I don't care what their circumstances of the grandchildren are or how they got here, they're legitimate in the fact that God wanted them here, or he wouldn't have said, let there be life. So that was huge.
Specific scriptures that you shared with your grandchildren through the years? Do you feel brings them comfort?
Hope thou in the Lord. And I told them always go to, if you are hurting, go to Psalms and go to Proverbs, because there's wisdom in Psalms and Proverbs. Plus, I love Song of Solomon. I am a big, big, big Song of Solomon person. I'm a big Romans person. I think Romans is one of the best books in the entire Bible. But I also love Revelation, because look what John went through. And he still wrote the book of Revelation. And I think one of the reasons that John outlasted them all was this. Peter was always saying, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But John was always saying, Jesus loves me. So John hung his hat on a different hook. He was all about how much the Lord loved him. And he wrote it down. I'm the Lord's favorite. Well, you know, just get that. That'll preach a long time.
I'm gonna throw this in there like a little bonus, Tony, and I'm not gonna say a name, but you and I both know a pastor who used to live in that lifestyle. He was a drug dealer. He was a drug user, an IV drug user, and he's been out of that a long time and been and done ministry for many years. And he is a great man of God.
Yes,
but I heard him from the pulpit say one day, that after he got saved, he was still using, he was still shooting up. And one day he was shooting drugs into his arm with a needle. And all he could say was, "I don't know why I'm doing this. Jesus, I love you so much." Mm-hmm. And he said he very clearly heard the Lord say, "Until you understand how much I love you, you will never be free."
Exactly.
"Because you're trying to do this based on how much you love me."
There you go.
"Not how much I love you." I hope that really, that has helped me deal with people in addiction so many times. I hope that somebody listening, that that really speaks to them, because that helps me also know how to pray. Because we can raise these kids and they can love Jesus.
Yes.
And they will still make these very difficult and painful choices unless they understand how much God loves them.
Yes. Yes.
So, and I know you know who I'm talking about.
Yes. And there's one thing too that makes me, you know, I hang my hat on this too. I want to hear these words. And well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, nothing really matters to me as much as hearing Jesus at the end of it all saying those words to me. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
And I would say this to parents. Tony, you are a Jochebed. Do you know who Jochebed is? Who was that?
Oh my gosh. Was that, it's the, let me think.
It's Moses's
it's
mother.
It's Moses's mother. Yes.
Yes. Moses's mother was
Who hit him in a basket and
I
did
mean,
all
she
this
just
stuff.
Defied all of the plans of the enemy.
Exactly.
She just refused to accept that for her children,
That's
her
right.
child.
That's right.
And because of it, we got Moses.
Yes.
And
didn't we?
Yeah. How much is hinged on her one decision to defy the authority the enemy was trying to exercise. And so when I think about that, I think about, you are a Jochebed, most certainly. And I want to encourage.
And so are you.
Oh, well, thank you. I try to be. I'm telling y'all, I want to be like Tony when I grow up. But I really want for mothers and fathers and grandparents listening to this podcast to hold on to that. Like, grasp onto this Jochebed principle. I call it the Jochebed principle.
Exactly.
And grasp onto that, hold on to that, and just start walking around the jail. Start marching around that city block that's riddled with drugs and everything else. And just declare the word and just refuse to accept what the enemy has set out to steal, kill, and destroy. Because it is that kind of defiance. When
That's
we
right.
walk in that authority, I mean, I know everybody says, "Oh, when the mama bear comes out." Yes, it is a mama bear, and I get that whole thing. But really, we have no bear in us without the authority of heaven.
No
and
doubt.
when we
No
have
doubt.
The word, we have the authority that we can stand up and declare these scriptures and do these things.
Exactly.
And I just, I know without a shadow of a doubt that there is going to be somebody that hears this podcast and they're going to realize, I need to pray a little different. That they're going to be encouraged. Tony, thank you for your story, because they're going to be encouraged. And y'all, Tony has so many stories. Like, we could do podcast after podcast after podcast.
Well, I've lived a long time, so there's that.
Well, it's not that. It's just that I know the battles that you've seen. And so, Tony, as we close out, I want to ask you this. Would
Okay.
you please pray over these moms and these dads and these
Yes.
aunts and uncles and grandparents
Yes.
who are just fighting for dear life for those children that they love?
Yes, I'd love to.
Thank you.
Okay, Father God, we just come to you now, knowing that you are our great Redeemer. We also know that you won all battles at the cross. You were risen from the dead. You became sin for us. And Lord, I pray that these grandmothers, these moms, these uncles, all these family members that are looking in the face of addiction will see that these are just spirits trying to take down their children, and that Jesus has dominion over all of those spirits. And Lord, I pray that a holy fight and a hope will come up in them that says, wait a minute, Jesus is my Lord, and none of us have to go down forever. And Lord, I pray that they give their total hearts to the Lord, and that they hope in Jesus, and that they begin to see that all things are possible to
Yes.
those who love the Lord. All things are possible. And it hangs on the fact that Jesus and God are love. They're literally made of love. So how can you lose with a God who's made of love? And Lord, just let them know that there is an agape love always chasing their children,
Yes.
always chasing them down to every corner that they may go in. And that their sin will make them sick at some point. And that there was a prodigal son that came home. And the father looked over the hill for that son. And Lord, give them the heart and the hope and the glory in believing and the faith that that prodigal will come home. And let
Yes.
them know that you are God above all else. I pray for them to have hope. I pray for them to have faith. I pray for them to cry their tears and know that Jesus will pick every single tear up, and he puts them in a bottle and he holds them for us. No matter how many there are, he collects those tears. And he is near to the brokenhearted. And that's the word of God. And Lord, I thank you that you are near to the brokenhearted and you make all things new. That's what Ecclesiastes says. I make all things beautiful in my time.
Yes.
Lord, we're just going to camp on that and we're going to believe. And Lord, I pray for the addicted to come home. And I pray for them to come from the north, south, and east and west and remember that there is a home in Jesus. I pray for their salvation and I pray that they'll be filled with the Spirit of God and do your bidding, Lord. I pray for a great revival,
Yes.
a great revival of prodigals,
In
and that they will
Jesus.
change the
Yes.
world as we know it, with the pure love of God running through their veins, running in the streets, running wherever they go. And they will take over. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done and all you're doing. And thank you for who you are.
Yes.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's a trio that cannot be beaten. No matter
Yes.
how many, no matter how many other counterfeits come, a
Thank you.
tri-strand cord is uneasily broken. And let's hang our hope on that trio, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And
That's
Holy
right.
Spirit, we loose you to do what you need to do to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captive free. Thank you, Jesus. I say
Amen.
amen to that.
Amen, girl. Thank you so much. I love it. You
You're
know, no
welcome.
test turns into a testimony unless you insert Jesus.
That's right. Jesus is it.
That is
Jesus is
so
it
good.
because he did it all.
Well,
He won the
I want
battle.
to thank everybody for joining us today. Thank you for your time, Tony. Thank you for your wisdom and your passion. And I just want to encourage anybody who's out there, if this has ministered to you, please feel free to reach out. You can reach me at Charlie, Charli, at active-faith.com, and
Yes.
tell me how Tony's story has affected you. I would love to share that with her. Tony, be blessed. And until next time, this
I
has been
will.
Dr. Charlie and her friend Tony, and we have been bringing you Battle Plan for Broken Families.
God bless my favorite redhead. I love you dearly.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.